Good morning. Oh, good. You're going to be the rowdy crowd. I was getting worried because I kind of felt like everybody was tired. Anybody feel tired from this last week? It was like so much stuff. And you know, this morning, you could say, we're tired, you're tired. Last night, everybody was tired. And I'm like, we'll get through it this morning. It's going to be okay. We'll get through it. Then we're going to go have more sugar again. It'll be okay. We'll get through it. Hey, just real quick, if you've been reading through the Bible with us, I want to remind you, tomorrow we start again, and we start with our two-year Bible reading. How many of you finished your Bible reading this morning? Hey, good for you guys. 3 years through the Bible together as a church. What a blessing. It's so amazing. And so now we're starting what's known as the Great Adventure 2. That stands for the second time, also for 2 years. We're going to go through the Bible together as a church. We're going to do it in 2 years. We're going to be going through the New Testament each year and then the Old Testament over 2 years. So we encourage you to grab this and read through the Bible with us, just verse by verse, going chapter by chapter, and letting God's Word speak to us. And I have been so blessed. And the testimony that I've heard from people about how God has spoke to them through the Word is so amazing. If you have a cell phone with you this morning, please put it into the silent position. If you have a child, would you please do the same thing? No, I'm kidding. If you have a small child with you and they become fussy and become a distraction, be courteous and go over to the family room where you can tend to their needs and still hear the Word of God together. Oh, I'm so excited for God's Word this morning. And as we get there, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 22 this morning. So please turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22 as we look at the last few verses of the Bible. And we look at a few things that are here this morning that we're going to take away. But before we do that, let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, Lord, I ask that you would anoint your Word with your Spirit. That, Lord, your Spirit would go forth and you would touch our hearts. You would be with us even now. Lord, calm my heart and strengthen my heart for your message that you have for your people, that you have for me individually. Lord, I want to pray for all those that are here that just need an individual message from you, that, Lord, they would hear that message. They would hear it clearly from your Spirit this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And God's kids say again, amen. So let me ask you guys a question. How many of you loved school? How many of you guys love school, right? My wife's the first one to raise her hand. Okay. All right. Some of you love school. How many of you didn't like school so much? Right? Now, by the way, I just want you to know, I've noticed that there were more men that raised their hand for the second one. But there were some gals that raised their hands as well. And I just want you to know, I wasn't a great student. I have found that the Word of God is true. God uses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. And so I just have to be honest with you, I wasn't a great student. And I had an interesting collegiate career. I'm looking forward to going back to school again with a little bit more experience in my life. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's interesting as we kind of look at school. I didn't like school. I really didn't like textbooks. I didn't love textbooks because textbooks just meant work. It meant reading. My boys, actually, they love literature. I mean, even though they fought their mom a lot about that, they actually have all grown up into a place. They love reading. They're voracious readers. They love literature. I've got one son who loves chemistry. He loves math. He's really good at it. And I was talking to him one day. I said, son, I just want you to know that I actually really did like my math class. He goes, really? You didn't like school? I said, well, I didn't like school, but I like my math class. He says, why'd you like your math class? I said, because of the textbook. He says, what do you mean? I said, I like my math class because the textbook had all the answers in the back. And I'm not talking like every other answer. They were all in the back. That was my favorite textbook. Listen, church, I want you, if you don't leave with anything else, I want you to leave with this today. Do you understand that this is our textbook for life? This is inside the Word of God is everything that we need for life and godliness found in Christ Jesus. It's all here. How many of you have ever been in that place in your life where you're just like, I do not know what to do? Anybody been there? Right? I don't know what to do. God, what do I do? Guess what? The answer is right here. This is the textbook for life. And so here it is. And so we have this. But you know what the best part about this textbook? The same as my math textbook. All the answers are in the back. And I'm not afraid of the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation because it tells me the greatest answer that I need to know regarding this life. Let me just drop this truth bomb on you. Are you ready? Jesus is victorious. That's it right there. I don't care what you have going on in your life right now. I don't care what tragedy, disaster, what good thing, bad thing, doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus stands with you victorious, and I know that because I've read the back of the book, and I read the last chapter, and I know the answer. Jesus has got it going on. And so we're going to look at three things specifically this morning. Number one, we're going to look at an invitation that is here in Revelation. Number two, we're going to look at a warning. And number three, we're going to look at a promise as we look at the Word of God together this morning. So if you would, Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 17 this morning. Let's go ahead and read that verse, then we'll take it apart. It says this, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." Want to make sure you understood how it was said. It wasn't like, well, come if you want. No, it's come. It says, let him who hears say, come. There's two different things that are going on here. We'll talk about it. And he says, and let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, and by the way, it's an important word, whoever desires, whoever. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. So what is this? Is this an invitation to Jesus, to asking him to return, or is it an invitation of those with a spiritual thirst to come to Jesus? Yes, it is both. It is the Spirit and the bride saying, come. It is also him who hears to say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Both are true. So who can come? Who has the ability to come to Christ? Who can do that? Well, there's three things we see. The first is this. Him who hears. To him who hears, they can come to Jesus, but they can't come unless they hear. And that's why the preaching of the word is so important. Romans tells us that, how shall they hear unless one is sent? And so the preaching of the word is desperately important in the world that we live in. And so he who thirsts can come to Jesus, but no one's going to come to Jesus unless they thirst for him, unless they have that thirst. The other part of that is whoever desires can come. Someone who desires and desires it, they can come, but they won't come unless their heart desires him. Have you ever known a group of people or somebody in your life that you're like, why won't you come to Jesus? Have you ever been there? You're like, how do you not realize how beautiful and wonderful Jesus is? Why will you not come? And so at the end of the book, there is an invitation, and it says, come. So come. So he says here in the second part, he says, let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, I want you to understand that the word take, we have to be very careful how we use that in church. And so it jumped off the page to me. The idea of coming and taking. Because do you realize that it would be weird if the ushers came and took from you an offering? How many of you understand that could get a little violent? Right? They're like reaching in. You're like, hey. I'll give it. You don't have to take it. That's why we say what? Would the ushers come and receive the offering? So often we talk about the idea of receiving, but what does it say here? It says, whoever desires, let him take. Let him take of the water of life freely. Let him come and take. I had somebody come to me and they said, oh, you're the guy that took over at Water Springs. I'm like, time out. You made it sound like a hostile takeover. No, I came and received the blessing of ministry. I didn't take anything. Do you understand the difference, right? And so here we see this word, take. And so here it is. He says, come and take of the water of life freely. This is an open invitation. There is an open invitation to receive salvation from Jesus, and it includes everyone. No one is excluded from this invitation. It says, whosoever in the King James. So whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. By the way, I want you to note this if you're a note taker, Bible students, this is important, especially those of you who do evangelism and really have a heart to reach the lost. See, an invitation is twofold. Yes, it is an opportunity. An invitation is an opportunity, but it is also a responsibility. So you hear it as an opportunity, but then there is a responsibility to receive that invitation. Hey, would you like to come over to the house and play some games? You know, full contact dominoes, I think is what we're going to do tonight. You want to do that, right? And so you get the invitation, and then you, but if you don't go, you didn't Take the responsibility to receive that invitation. How many of you understand what I'm saying there? And so an invitation is an opportunity, but it's also a responsibility. If we decline the invitation, if anyone declines the invitation, we only have ourselves to blame. There are so many out there that are declining the invitation that God gives when he says, come. If you desire, don't care who you are, you can come to me. Now, by the way, the invitation here is an urgent invitation. It's like, it's not one of these, hey, come if you feel like it. It's come now. Come now. Come here. How many of you have ever had an urgent invitation given to you by a parent? Right? And in my house, it sounds like this, boys, they all know that's an urgent invitation to come right now. And they come line up by shape and size. Yeah, there it is, you know. They're like, yes, Dad. They know they're in trouble if they hear that particular invitation. But with that invitation to come, it's an urgent one. The word of God here is an urgent invitation. It says, come. If you desire, come and take of the water of life freely. This invitation is here. It's an urgent command because no one is promised tomorrow. Do you guys realize none of us are promised tomorrow? So many people will come into churches all over our country today. They will hear the invitation of Jesus Christ, and they will go, maybe later. And they will walk out, and they will perish in their sins, for there will be an accident or something, and they will die. You have to understand, there's a season of grace. When we hear the word of God, when we hear the invitation, we should come, because the hour of judgment is coming when it will be too late. There is an urgent calling to those who are lost, saying, come to Christ. And if you consider the context of the invitation, it's Revelation. Y'all read through the book, right? You understand that the book of Revelation starts with the revealing of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ explains that he's amongst the church. He knows what the church has been up to. And he says, hey, if you don't get it together, there's going to be some problems between you and I. And then after that, we see the church in heaven. We see the worship of heaven. And then in chapter 6, we begin to see the judgment being poured out on the unbelieving lost world. And that it's judgment upon judgment upon judgment. The sun ceases to shine a third of it. And you see that all of a sudden the grass is burned up. And the sea, a third of it is turned to blood one time. Then the second time, it's all turned to blood. Fresh water is turned to blood. The wind stops moving. There's a lack of food. There's a lack of hope. There's demons that have come out of a bottomless pit. They sting men. Men are so in pain, they want to die, but death takes a holiday. They can't even die and they want to die. I mean, you understand, this is, hey, by the way, if you don't want to go through this, y'all best come. How many of you understand how cool this invitation is now? I love to share the gospel from Revelation because it says, come. If you don't want to go through this stuff that you just read through, why don't you come? See, could you imagine being part of the early church and have been there and just read through the entire book of Revelation, and at the very end it says, and by the way, whoever desires, come and take of the water of life freely. How many of you think they got up and said, I want to receive of the water of life freely? I bet you a lot of them did. And so there is also, in the Old Testament, there's a very familiar passage that has kind of the similar ring to it regarding come. It's in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 1. You can turn there or they'll put it up there, but it starts in Isaiah 55 verse 1. It says, ho! I always loved that, the way that starts there, right? I was like, ho! You get your attention, right? He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God is saying in the Old Testament as well, come to me. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, you don't have enough, but I've got everything you need, so come to me. Now he goes on and he continues to share as he writes. He says, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation to you you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. That should sound familiar to us. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And then in verse 6 it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come to him because he will abundantly pardon. The scripture says God is always saying, come. You don't need to come with stuff. Just come. Come and take freely of the water of life. So he says there again in verse 17, the last part, he says, whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. We should glory in this invitation. We should be so excited because it's for everyone. This is a big deal. If somebody desires salvation in Jesus Christ, they can come, they can have it. They can take of that water of life freely, but we make excuses. Have you ever heard people make excuses about why they will not come? Have you ever heard people go, well, you know, maybe I got this thing going on, or I got that thing going on. Maybe there's all kinds of excuses. Let me just share a few that I've heard pretty consistently. First of all is this. Number one, I hear this. I hear, oh, man, I just don't understand. I don't understand all of, like, Christian doctrine. I don't understand all the theology. I'm confused about my eschatology and ecclesiology and pneumonology, humanology. I don't understand all the ologies, and so I'm not really sure that I can come, you know, to Jesus. And let me just share with you what you need to tell that person. You need to tell him to come anyway, because the scripture doesn't say, whoever understands, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It says, whoever desires, let him come and take of the water of life freely. There are some people who say this, well, I just can't repent like I should. You know, I just, in my heart, I'm bitter in my heart. I don't really feel bad about my sin. In fact, I don't feel bad about him at all, and my heart's hard. I just can't weep over my sin. Listen, I'm going to share with you right now. You need to tell that person to come anyway, because the scripture does not say whoever feels like they've got it together, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It says whoever desires, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The other one that I hear is, well, I don't know if I can live the Christian life. I just don't know. I don't know. And you know what? A lot of our young people, a lot of our teenagers go through these things in life. They're trying to figure life out, and they're going, well, I don't understand everything about the Bible. That's okay. That's what we're here for. Oh, I don't understand all the issues of repentance, or I just don't feel like I can live the Christian life the way I should. The scripture doesn't say this. It doesn't say whoever can, let him come and take of the river, the water of life freely. It says whoever desires. So come anyway. So you don't have it all figured out. You come to Jesus anyway. So you've got a hard heart. You come to Jesus anyway. He'll take care of the heart part. You don't have it all figured out, or you feel like you can't. You come anyway, and he'll help you. Here's the other one. Oh, I don't know if I'm worthy to live the Christian life. I don't know if I'm worthy. Guess what? None of us are worthy. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy because I know me. If you know me, you would think I wasn't worthy too. See, I'm a mess, and I know it. I'm not worthy. But the scripture, I'm so thankful the scripture doesn't say, whoever's worthy, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It says, whoever desires, and I desire. And so I come. This is a huge word. The whosoever word is a huge word. It doesn't, you know what? Doesn't matter the height, shape, or size. It doesn't matter if you're a little sinner or a big sinner. Doesn't matter your ethnic background, red, yellow, black, white, green, polka dot. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your ethnic background, where you're from, your station in life. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Doesn't matter if you're man or a woman. You can come freely and take of the water of life if you desire a relationship with Jesus. Do you see why I love this promise in Revelation? After it's all said and done, we come to the end of the book. Jesus is victorious, and it says, you come to the one who is victorious. Whoever may come. Guys, it's really simple. Let's not get confused. It's really simple. If you desire Jesus and you desire salvation, then come. Now, you can say this in your heart. You can say, Lord, I desire to be saved, so give me a new heart because I'm struggling in my heart. So you might be in a place where you're like, Lord, I need you to give me a desire to give up my sins. Lord, give me a desire to be a Christian. Give me a desire to believe and to obey and to obedient to your word. Because Lord, I have no strength to do this. How many of you understand it's okay to do that? In fact, it's honest to do that. Because for us to come and show up like, hey God, what's up? I got this. That's kind of arrogant. There's no piety in that. There's no humility in that. You don't show up thinking you got this together. We should show up realizing we don't have it together at all. He just simply says, come. If you have a desire, then freely receive the invitation that's given to come. If you're willing, you can come. Now, there's usually almost no barrier between us and the ability to come to Jesus except our stubborn pride. That's what keeps us from the Lord, our pride. Or we start thinking, well, if I fix my life, then I can come to Jesus. How many of you ever thought that? Real quick, honest, right? If most of you probably didn't understand the question, I can say it in another language if it helps. But I mean, you can. But a lot of people, I mean, a lot of times we think we've got it. We can get right with God when we get things right. No. That doesn't work that way. If you desire, whoever desires, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You come and take. You don't have to receive it. You can come, take it. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. You get to come and take something from the Lord because he wants you to come and take it. He wants you to come and be part of this. And don't let your stubborn will get in the way. Now, he says, let him take of the water of life. And the last word there is freely. Now, freely is an important word for us. Now, you have to understand, a lot of times when we desire to come, we desire to come, and we must come and take. But there's a contrast between world religions and Christianity I want to share with you. See, in world religions around the globe, around the world, from the occult to the cult to just world religions that are all over the world, it looks like this. We have to bring something to God. Christianity stands different and stands alone in this concept, is that the essence of Christianity is summed up in the idea that God invites us to come and take freely, where in the other cases, we have to come and bring something. Now, let me share with you a little bit about my conversion experience. So I'm sitting at a table at lunchtime across from a man named John. Now, John's looking at me, and he's been sharing with me that I'm dead in my sins, and I've been separated from God because of my sin. And I look at him, and I say, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do? And that was my question. What do I have to do to get right with God? And he says, well, now, what he said after that would have gone one of two ways. If he'd have said to me, well, there's 10 things you have to do to get right with God, here's the list, go start working on that, I'd have walked and I would have never returned. But you know what he said to me? He said to me, you simply need to believe and receive Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do. You don't need to get anything right. You don't need to fix anything. Just do it right. I was thinking about young people that come to know the Lord. And, you know, a young couple, let's say, you know what, let's say they're involved in a relationship already, but they don't know the Lord. And they're involved sexually, but they don't know the Lord yet. And they're both adults, and they come to church, and they both get saved. Do you realize that they're now new creatures, but that old stuff is still there? Now God has to work that out in them. They don't have to go fix that first. Guess what they get to do? They get to come and get right with God first, and then God will help them fix the rest of it. One of my favorite weddings I ever did, had a couple come in. They'd gotten saved 2 weeks before, and they were starting a family together, but they weren't married, and they were kind of in that lifestyle, and they were a mess, but they'd gotten saved, and they realized, well, it's not like we're just going to leave each other. I mean, we love each other. And so they came and said, hey, pastor, would you do a wedding? I'm like, when? They said, now. I'm like, excuse me? And they went, we have papers. I'm like, the ink was still wet. I'm like, what do you want to do? He says, we want to be right before the Lord. We've received Christ, and we realize where we were before wasn't right, but now we want to be right. So would you do a wedding? I'm like, absolutely. Do you? Will you? Okay, good. All right, you know. No, we did a little bit more than that. But we got, you know, we actually found some musicians and did some things, you know, and had a bouquet of, like, you know, dead flowers we found, dandelions. We had fun with it. We did. We had fun with it. So here they are, and they desire to be right before the Lord. But you understand, they didn't try and fix that first. See, if you fall overboard from a boat in rough seas, and you're there by the side of the boat, and somebody's there holding a life ring, right? And they're like, Okay, now before I throw this to you, there's three things that you have to do. Half the people in the world be like, forget it, I'll just drown. Right? See, here's the thing. When we're flailing, when we're going down, Jesus freely says, here you go. All you have to do is grab on. That's the invitation of the book of Revelation. Come and take of the water of life freely. Do you realize that the whole Bible, all of the prophecies of the Bible, all of the writings of the apostles, all of the warnings of the Bible, all of the promises of the Bible, they come together and they focus themselves into this one burning ray of hope for the church, which is come to Jesus and take of the water of life freely. And then what happens? Then we move into the warning. So verse 18 says this, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Now, who's speaking here? It's unsure. Sometimes you go, is it Jesus still speaking? Is it John? Mounts, he wrote in his commentary, thinks, hey, it's pretty emphatic. It might be Jesus, but we don't know. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't matter at this point who's speaking. It's God's word. And God's word is being very clear. Do not mess with the word. Don't mess with it. He says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book and adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Have you guys read the plagues that were in the book? I'm not getting in line for that particular dish. But yet there are people around the world today who are taking apart God's word. And they stand in danger of great judgment. He goes on and he says, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Think about the beautiful things that are in the book. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, eternity, no more tears, joy forevermore in the presence of God to love him and serve him. Oh, man, all these, they're going to be taken away. If you take away from the word. So there's a high price to pay when we start tampering with the book of Revelation. There's also a high price to pay when we start tampering with the scriptures in general. So we have to be very, very careful. There's a solemn promise. And this solemn promise here of this warning implies something else for us. I do believe that the book of Revelation should be read, taught, and understood by his people. I don't think we should be afraid of it. I don't think we should think, oh, Revelation, that's scary. Have you read Daniel? We don't freak out when it comes to Daniel, and Daniel chapter 11 is like world history. The last time I thought through Daniel chapter 11, I felt like I was doing a documentary on a history channel. I'm just reading my notes because I couldn't memorize it all. See, guys, the word of God is something not to be feared, but to be embraced. The scripture says in the beginning of Revelation, if you read this, you're going to be blessed. And so I'm so excited to teach through it. We're in James on Wednesday nights right now, and we're going to go from James all the way through Revelation. I'm looking forward to when we get to Revelation. We're going to go through it. We're going to read it. We're going to understand it. We're going to celebrate it. And are there things we're going to go, huh, yes, we are. We're going to read descriptions of creatures that we can't even fathom in our mind. Why? Because we're human. But we're going to read it. We're going to understand it because God has made a promise, don't mess with it, which means every word is right and true. Then we move in past the warning, the invitation, the warning, now the promise. Verse 20 says this, he who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly, amen. Surely I am coming quickly, amen. Revelation emphasizes a readiness and a watchfulness. Please understand that. We as the church should be ready and watching. As we're waiting, watching, we should be worshiping and working, doing for the Lord until his return. But if we miss out on the practical lesson of the book of Revelation, which is a lesson of being ready for his return, we've kind of missed the essential point. We need to be ready because the statement here is, I am coming quickly. And by the way, if that were not enough, he says, surely, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee. In other words, I am telling you right now, emphatically, that I am coming quickly. Amen. Let it be so. He puts bookends on it just to make sure we're clear. Guess what, church? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and I hope you're excited. I hope you're not freaking out. By the way, if when I tell you Jesus is coming, you start freaking out, you need to come to the water and drink freely. You shouldn't be freaking out that Jesus is coming. You should be excited that Jesus is coming, because I am. Our young people should be excited that Jesus is coming, because if Jesus comes, there are no more tests. Did you guys know that? When Jesus comes back, no more spelling and grammar. No more math. By the way, I'm pretty sure grammar is going to count in heaven. But listen, the idea is that the Lord's returning, and I'm going to be excited about his return. Whether I see the Lord in the rapture of the church, or whether I see the Lord at death, I'm excited for his coming, because his word promises his coming. And John, then he writes this, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." This is an Aramaic expression that was very familiar to the early church. It's Maranatha. Maranatha, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. How many of you have ever had that day when you're like, Lord, now would be good? Right? You know what I'm talking about. Lord, come back right now. Hey, church, if the Lord comes back, you don't have any more bills to pay. Right? Moms, no more laundry to do. It would not be heaven if you're still doing 10 loads of laundry a week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Lord's coming back. All this stuff that we struggle with is gone because of the promise of the coming of our King. Church, are we looking for his coming, or are we looking just for tomorrow? I love what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, "I'm going to live as if Jesus Christ died yesterday, rose today, and is coming back tomorrow." Could you imagine what the church would be like if we actually did that? Let's live our life as if he died yesterday, rose today. Could you imagine the celebration in the church if he rose today? I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I was saying, you know, it's amazing to me how we put so much effort into, like, to Easter Sunday, right? Resurrection Sunday. Do you know why the church meets on Sunday? Because Jesus rose on Sunday. Isn't every Sunday Resurrection Sunday? Every Sunday should be a reminder of the resurrection of Jesus. We should put as much effort into every Sunday and evangelism, because, by the way, let's be honest, how many of us love to invite people to church at Easter time? Right? Why? Because we know it's going to be like a party. It's Easter, right? It's going to be a party. But how many of us realize that we should be like that all the time? We should be like, hey, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And then what if we lived as if he was coming back tomorrow? Would we be busy about his kingdom today because he's coming tomorrow? Absolutely. And so, church, we need to have that focus in mind. Are we looking forward to the rapture of the church? Because in this, Revelation has so many prophecies in it and so many things in it, and it all wraps up in this idea. John is looking and longing for the coming of Jesus for his church. Are we? Are you and I looking forward to that? I'm going to have the worship team come out as we close with verse 21. It says this, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." From beginning to end, the story of God's grace is in this book. And the very last verse ends with the idea of grace. Many of you may not realize it, but some of you may, is that in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, which is the last verse of the Old Testament, it says this. It says, "Lest I curse the earth, or lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." It ends with a curse. The Old Testament ends with a curse. And so fitting words for us when we get to the end of the New Testament, and it speaks of grace. Now, by the way, think about the book of Revelation for just a moment. The book of Revelation, for the most part, speaks of the most incredible, horrific judgment upon humanity by God ever recorded in the Scripture. And yet, what does it end with? It ends with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Why is this significant? It is significant for us. Why? Because grace is how God deals with us in the new covenant. It's grace. If you desire Jesus, if you desire the Lord, would you come and take of the water of life freely? As a Christian, don't mess around with God's word. Just read it for what it says. That's why we're going to read through it together. Genesis to Revelation. We're going to do it together. Why are we going to do that together? Because we're not going to mess with it. We're going to read it, and we're going to let the power of the Holy Spirit work in us, and it's going to teach us so we don't mess with God's word. But are we looking for the promise of the coming of Jesus? Are we excited for his coming? Are we excited for what Jesus is and who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, the All-Present One, the All-Knowing One says, come to me. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning and your word. Lord, I ask that as we leave here today, that what we have read in that last verse would come to pass. For my brothers and sisters that are here right now, Lord, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with us all. And we all say together, amen.